Hello, everyone, and welcome. My name is Terry, and I thank you for taking the time and interest in our conversation and the information that will be shared today. Our conversations are offered through my website, vibrationsofthesoul.com, as a resource for personal learning, healing, and a goal to better understand spiritual awakening and the planetary ascension cycle that is currently underway. Clearly, we are in times of great change, impacting our relationship we have with ourselves, with others, and our planet. The issue is many people do not have a context for what is occurring as this frequency shift is affecting everything. These can be challenging times, resulting in confusion, sadness, feelings of disconnection, and loneliness. When we talk about ascension or spiritual awakening, we can experience this as a multidimensional shift within our consciousness into higher states of self-awareness. This perceptual shift can include increased awareness of energy in our environment, sensing extra-dimensional entities and feeling the interconnected energy between all things. Some of us are actively participating with the cycle of change consciously, while others are just becoming aware that something is very different as their day-to-day observations and interactions with the world just no longer make sense. It's time to open our eyes, to look around and be honest about what we see as the global reflection and then within our own lives. Keeping people fixated on meaningless dramas, deceptive narratives, debt slavery, divide and conquer strategies, fear and survival is the name of the game. Through our conversations, we offer an opportunity to learn from many others who are walking through this ascension cycle with a conscious participation as they offer to share their direct and personal experiences with us through a dialogue and exchange on various subjects. I always ask you to keep an open mind, being receptive to new ideas and knowledge, and being adaptable to change. When we are open-minded, we know that others should be free to express their views and that the value of others' knowledge should be recognized. Keeping an open and flexible mind is important to keep one's heart open. And remember, an open mind equals an open heart. In opening our field intention here today for our conversation, we command this space as sovereign and free within the living light, the law of one, through our crystal star guardian teams and Aurora hosts, in which we are learning to take complete ownership of our personal energies through unity consciousness, compassionate witnessing, loving self and others, loving the earth and nature, responsible co-creation, and consciousness expansion. Well, with that being said, today I have a wonderful guest, and her name is Caitlin. And Caitlin, I want to thank you for taking the time. I know it was impromptu to do this interview, but I really want to thank you for being so vulnerable to share your experience and journey as we go forth and really sharing those direct experiences that are going to help so many others. So thank you so much. So I think we'll start just with you telling me a little bit about yourself, telling the listeners about yourself.
Yeah. Well, I am 36. I was born and raised in Colorado, and I have a love for the great outdoors. Through my life, my love has been with horses, spending time with family and friends. And one of my favorite things to do in the whole wide world is to laugh.
And sing.
And sing. I do. I love it. So
very nice.
Yeah. So thank you again for having me and inviting me on your podcast. It's really great to be here.
Our podcast. Because actually, Caitlin and I do work together on various ways. But Caitlin's coming forth just to share her story here today, her journey to inspire many others. So thank you again, Caitlin.
It has been about 8 years.
Yeah,
that we've been working together.
Yeah,
I met Terry right after my dad passed away. Some a mutual friends of ours connected us, and we did work through hypnotherapy, and it's been a big part of my healing journey here. And over these 8 years, we've really earned each other's trust. Trust is earned,
and that is for sure.
Very grateful for that. And I know through our work, it was always, I had to do the work through this journey. You held the space, and you were always loving and kind. And that made the difference, because there's times in my life where I couldn't feel or see or sense or know love coming from anywhere. But I always knew when I met you that it was coming from you. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Caitlin. I really appreciate that. I just want to say it's absolutely been an amazing journey to walk beside you and to watch the beautiful changes mm-hmm. and your commitment to your own personal growth, to God, to goodness. Mm-hmm. It's remarkable, and very privileged to be part of your life's journey. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for being a divine example. I really learn a lot that way. I always felt growing up, please don't tell me to do anything that you haven't done or wouldn't do yourself.
Yeah.
And for that, you've been an example. So thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Well, let's go ahead and what we're going to be talking about is spiritual awakening. And I thought that I would just share a definition, a kind of understanding about what spiritual awakening is. So we can define spiritual awakening as a process of inner transformation that can be life-changing and challenging to walk through. It is a process that takes place over time where a person shifts into a more expanded state of self-awareness with a willingness to confront deep-seated patterns, outdated belief systems, old storylines, emotions, wounds, and trauma. And this often leads to an increased awareness and inner connection with God and the divine.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
Yeah. Well, so perhaps you can begin with sharing something about yourself as a child. I think that's a great place to start.
Yeah, what always stood out to me as I, you know, growing up, when I was a little girl, I remember looking up at the stars in the night sky, feeling very connected to them. I resonated with all things multidimensional, quantum physics, and spiritual concepts. I never felt like I belonged. I always had that feeling, even to my own birth family. And that led to wanting to have a better understanding of what was true in this life and real. And always wanting to work towards being a better person. My family was the biggest mirror for me wanting to change. And for that, I'm so grateful for them. I wanted wholeness. I wanted to be a well-rounded person. I didn't know what that meant, but it just always came to me.
You were looking.
I was looking. And more times than not, part of my life's journey, I was shown how not to be and what not to do, rather than who to be and what to do. Through my connection with horses, sports, and traveling, I was able to find an inner connection to myself and what felt true for me, an inner connection of knowing and tapping into my true authentic self.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting how you shared about oftentimes you were shown how not to be and what not to do through your birth family rather than who to be and what to do.
Yeah.
That's profound.
Yeah. And it's a constant theme. I even witnessed that today in my life, you know, even in the workplace, you know, going out and about, personal relationships.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a big mirror, and a catalyst.
All the world is a mirror.
Yes, very much so. Sometimes too much. Can we just pause for a minute? That'd be great.
Right. Well, let's go ahead and move forward now to where that major catalyst occurred for you. You know, the greater awakening process. And please just take your time to go as deep as you want to, you know, in terms of that moment in time that you knew things were about to change in a very big way and you couldn't stop it.
Yeah, I could not stop it. It would have to be when my dad passed away in March of 2017. I had heard the term dark night of the soul, and I would say I think a lot of us can relate that we have many of those through our life, but this was the big burrito, per se. Due to my dad's illness, it was a touch and go for about 10 years in ways I had time to prepare of his transition to the other side. But when it actually happened, there was no such thing as being prepared.
Yeah.
I woke up that morning with the news that my person, the one who loved me unconditionally, was no longer on this planet with me. And this was devastating.
Yeah.
The visual, like, in my heart, like, I felt like I woke up in the depths of my soul. But it was really dark. And at that time, there were very few lights in my life. I always had a challenging relationship with my mom. And shortly after my dad passed, this relationship with my mother ended as well. Not only with her, but the entire family. She was my oppressor in this life. My mother, you know, she canceled my father's funeral, and it denied me in the community closure. And it just kind of spiraled downhill pretty quickly. It was about a month after my dad died. Immediately when my dad had passed, I can count three family members that actually reached out, and they were cousins, and no one else was there. My main family and friends and acquaintances along the way.
Yeah.
But the denial of closure, not only did it impact me as his daughter, and it impacted a whole community. There were years after my dad had passed where I would still run into people that asked me how he was doing because they didn't know. And it was really a bizarre experience. So that I would say that was a major catalyst in my journey of awakening. And anything that was built that wasn't real and wasn't true, anything built on a house of cards, it collapsed. It dismantled.
And I think there was some point after that where there was an issue with your mom where you went to...
It went to court.
Court.
Yeah.
For your protection.
Yeah.
Do you mind sharing a little bit about that?
Yeah, it was through a restraining order, an attempt to get in a restraining order. And it was one of those that when the threat came in, it didn't come in just to me, it came in to people around me. And they kind of looked at me, they're like, if you don't do this, we're going to do this. We're going to take this step. And I remember with my mom growing up, and especially after my dad died, I didn't know how this was going to work because of my connection with my dad, and he loved me unconditionally, and my mom's relationship was so challenging, but my heart was open to give it a try. And oftentimes, though, I just in my heart felt to be there for her in all the ways that I wish she was for me.
Yes.
And I always heard this saying, like, in sports where you're like, give it your all. I really actually didn't feel like I knew what that meant until at this moment in time with my mom, where I remember I gave my all. And then it got to a point where I was like, there is nothing I can do here. This isn't even about me anymore. And I needed to build an extra layer of protection for not just for me, but for her too. I was like, this is not doing either of us any good. And a lot of time, it blindsided a lot of people, I realized.
Yes.
because so much had happened behind closed doors. It was very deceiving. You can put on this front out, you know, to the world, open the door and smile and say all the right things. But what was actually happening, and it blindsided my own family members. I'm pretty sure even to this day, they still
don't understand.
They just right. don't. So it ended, the ultimate end was 5 months after my dad died in the courtroom. And she got some other family members to testify against me. Most horrific attorney I've ever met that I wondered, how do you sleep at night? And I had a lot of love and support on my end too, but it should have never gone that way. Even the judge couldn't believe what was actually happening. And then that was it. It was like taking a stand, symbolic on many levels and many fronts. Very painful and devastating. And
yet here you are today.
And here I am. I had to learn to walk through it all.
Yeah. It's a lot, and it called on many resources within to help you find the strength to move through that process, and you did it. Seeing you today and knowing everything you've walked through, it's a beautiful, beautiful expression of love, of God's love and grace that worked through you to guide you every step of the way. And to see you smile today and laugh, this is wonderful. God. And I know, gosh, I've been there with you, so I know how painful.
Yeah, you are. I met you right a week before that happened. I walked into that courtroom.
Yeah.
I can still feel it. It's still really intense to just be like, that actually happened for everyone involved. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But it was part of the journey of who I am today.
Yeah. Well done, Caitlin. Oh my God, you're beautiful. Watching her speak to me as we're doing this interview, it's very deeply touching because she's actually reliving and feeling the emotion. I'm sure you can hear that. And watching her go through this as she shares this so vulnerably with all of you, really appreciate that. Caitlin, it's not easy. It's not easy, but I know that this conversation is going to help somebody who's listening to it.
I pray that it does. It's always healing, you know, to share. I learn just as much and heal just that much more.
Yeah.
And I get to share, and I do pray that for the highest capacity of exchange for whoever may be listening, that this may be supportive and that it's not always a lot of loudness or fireworks when it comes to issues like this. They can be pretty subtle and sneaky, and to know that if you are listening to this, you aren't alone.
Yeah.
And you can walk through this, and you will.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Thank you, Caitlin. Well, let's just move on from there now, and let's talk about that, you know, how you coped with the pain, that deeper journey of facing your pain.
Yes. It was really interesting. You know, we live in a world of forces.
Seen and unseen.
Seen and unseen. And
energetic forces.
Energetic forces, very much so. Yep. And being an empath, I felt every little bit of it. But in that, with that pain that I had carried and my own trauma, what was really bizarre in this experience, that everything that was love and light, truly love and light, was reversed for me through the pain and
your
the
perception
darkness.
Yeah, the way you saw the world.
Yeah, I remember talking with you, Terry, you know, like, they don't love me, you know, like just angry and pissed off and frustrated and just devastated at the same time, and people very close to me, and I know if they're listening to this, they'll know who they are and that I love them so much. But I remember you had to say, Caitlin, they love you. And you at the time were the only, whatever it was in that connection and those words that you shared with me, could I actually hear that, because I couldn't hear anything else. But I also would try to drink it away. I was in a relationship that connected us through wounds rather than genuine heartfelt love. in a higher vibration.
Connected you through the pain.
Through the pain.
Yeah.
And got us to recreate more pain of everything we were trying to get rid of. We just were, it's like a hamster wheel, you know, looping.
Do you mind giving a little expression to that? Not necessarily who he is, but that last point, again, another real big point of segueing away from that relationship, that last...
You mean like in how it ended?
And how it ended.
Yeah.
Because you've been asked to move through a lot.
Yeah.
Reframing, recontextualizing, being honest, looking at what it was and having to accept.
Yeah. This was about a year after, actually exactly a year after my dad had passed, did we meet. We were together for 2 years. And he struggled with alcohol and addiction. And I was coming out of such darkness and made really poor choices, you know, such as the drinking, and caused a lot of pain. And him and I would have these conversations more to reflecting about our, how we grew up and our parents.
Right.
And we would express how we wanted to not be our parents. We did not want to create those relationships that we had observed as a kid. I know a lot of adults think that kids don't know where they're really young, but I was like, no, we're psychic sponges. Whether we understand the words or not, we're picking up on all the feelings that are happening all in the household, all the energy.
Yeah.
Yep, through the walls. It's just... but what we were doing was recreating exactly what we didn't want to.
Right.
But through the drinking too, I had to look at my own drinking when I watched him go through that. And I'm like, who am I if I'm still drinking? So it really started my journey to lead to the point where I don't drink today. It's been years. And I'm so grateful. And I have a quality of life. And a more joy. It's better than I could have ever imagined.
Yay.
But yeah. At the time, I remember you saying too, like, because of what addiction is, and when we're talking about the world of forces and what can be involved there, as long as he's drinking, there's nothing to work with. That was really hard.
Yeah.
And in the moment, it was a fight and drinking. I was drinking all day, and he fired a gun off. Wasn't sure if there was a bullet in the chamber. And it missed me by inches. I saw the flash. And I was another moment, like with the day my dad died. But this time I was standing in rubble.
Right.
Symbolically, it just felt like I had... like a bomb went off. There's nothing I could do. I couldn't fix it. There's nothing to clean. I had to climb out of that, get back on the highway to God's source, and I was never going to take another exit again. If you wanted to come join me, great, for as long as you can, but I've got to keep moving forward, and I'm never stopping again. I'm never taking another detour. And I love this person so much. And I just want the best and healing for him. But that was it. There was no such thing as closure. That was the closure.
It's interesting. That's right. Because it was making a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And you had the choice to move forward.
The power to choose.
The power to choose.
But I had to sit there in it. I had to look around.
Yeah.
I had to really look at myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had to understand it was going within. Was the way to heal. And like I said, looking at my own self, these were moments, these catalysts to keep going, which was really good, which was really important, because if I had stayed, I don't know what my life would have been. It doesn't feel good to really think about that. But I had a life review. You know, we often hear of like life reviews as people are getting ready to transition out of here, but we actually have the opportunity through our life to have a life review within.
While we're living.
Yeah. ourselves while we're living. Thanks. in body form. And the knowledge, I gained so much knowledge from the life review.
Explain a little bit more how that outpictured.
Yeah, so in a sense of a life review, where I get to look at my impact, my choices, whether they were conscious or unconscious, I had to look, let's say, at an interaction throughout my life, an interaction that I had on a particular day, and when I was really upset or in a dark place, and how it impacted the other person. And then what you witness and you feel is what how that impacted that person's life and how they went on to impact somebody else. Right. It works not only that way for the negative, but it also works that way when I express love and kindness and forgiveness, and how it rippled out like pebble in the pond, yeah. As a dear friend's
waves of love.
Waves of love, but it's inside out. But looking at that, because when I'm seeing this play out or witnessing this, I'm feeling it. I feel the pain that I caused that person. I feel the harm that I caused, and I had to face it. I had to take responsibility to it. There was no blame shifting. That only made things worse. And in blame shifting, I was giving power away to people that I never wanted to have my power to begin with. But that's what blame shifting is, but we live in a world that is that.
Right. Yeah. And yet the real self-empowerment, the self-healing, is looking at yourself 100% being responsible for words and actions and expressions, mm-hmm. And owning up to your own stuff.
Yeah.
We can blame everybody else around us.
It wasn't changing anything.
Doesn't change it, right? We yeah. have to take the power back within.
Yeah, my negative ego can flare. I can have a tantrum. It's not going to change it. Until I took ownership of it and had something to change.
And to look at it, right? To yeah. look at that aspect of yourself, the inner child screaming or the mm-hmm. tantrums that happen.
Boy, can
wondering
my inner
what you want.
My inner child can rage.
Yeah, oh, right? And then when you have the strength and the humility that's required yeah. to look at yourself, and be responsible for yourself. This is the way to deep healing. This is the way
yeah.
that we change. And I've watched you walk through it. I've walked through it. We've all been there, trying to become a higher expression. Not trying, doing, being a higher expression
yeah.
of who we really are. Not the overlaid version of all the woe is me, I'm so insignificant, I don't matter, I'm not enough, it's this, it's that. All those issues that keep us in a circle, never getting out of the circle, right? We can't find the exit way until we go within.
Yeah.
And really acknowledge who we are, our participation in the world.
Yeah. Well, and
with others.
Right. Well, and also to that, I would like to add, there's no bypassing. I mean, there was temptation there, like people like, if you do this for 21 days, or you know, you'll get there, you know, like instant gratification.
Yeah.
There's no such thing.
It's a journey.
There, and it's not linear. I did learn that through the grief process after losing my dad, that it wasn't like this happens and then this happens and then this happens. Sometimes it's like it's spiral wow. time. It's all happening all within 5 seconds. It's all kind of in between. Yeah. It's
confusing. As you're on this spiral of change,
yeah.
right? Yeah, because that's it. You know, real healing, and at least what I have seen from my perspective of working with a lot of yeah. people and learning from the people that I work with and going through my own process through life, it is a process that takes time, deep self-inquiry, and the willingness to say, I'm sorry, forgive mm-hmm. yourself, forgive others, go to your heart, build a meaningful relationship with God. Whatever that means to you, mm-hmm. and be willing to stand vulnerable with mm-hmm. the power to choose each day.
Mm-hmm.
I choose God. I choose goodness. I choose peace. Just choose peace in all situations.
Yeah.
Feel your pain. Cry your tears. Don't linger too long there.
Mm-mm. Don't camp out.
Don't camp out, right? No camping in pain. But you have to feel it.
You do.
And then you have to reclaim your true voice. You have to move forward. Mm-hmm. And this is spiritual awakening. It is
spiritual awakening.
Healing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's boots on the ground. And it's right here in our hearts. Every day, every moment.
Yeah.
And that power to choose.
Yeah. Well, it's powerful, right?
Very powerful.
And going through the process, I know, because I watched you, know, it's not easy.
No.
But so worthwhile.
It's worth it. And every bit of the healing is earned, and the love and the light through the surrender.
Yeah, as you're releasing pain, if we think about the emotions or thoughts, they're things. They're energetic substances. Mm-hmm. And if we think about the fluidity of thought, sometimes we get stuck in anger, stuck in lack of forgiveness. Well, that energy kind of gets stuck in your energy field. It gets stuck in your consciousness, and you become heavy and dense, and you're not shining brightly because there's a densification of emotion, of energy, right?
Right.
That really blocks the natural organic flow of who you are as this beautiful, divine, eternal, spiritual being.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, we can call it spiritual awakening, ascension, embodiment. There's many words to describe what this process is, or inner alchemy.
Yeah. Yeah, and through this process too of the life review, it was like returning to rightful owner. What was mine, and then what wasn't mine, and letting that go. But I also, in the sense how we can get in that loop and we hold on, like when I camped out there in the pain or felt justified or continued to have these, let's say, mental arguments that would wake me up at 4 a.m. with the mental, like, I should have said this, or I'm going to say this. And it'd be like years down the road, 4 or 5 years, and these people are not in my life, but yet they're still
taking up space.
Yeah. My consciousness, aspects of my consciousness are being utilized for this. And so I also had to pause and look at that. I'm like, who is this really? Just like if someone had something, an issue with me, I'm like, I'm not even in your life. I'm so sorry for the pain I've caused. Please forgive me. I want to do better.
Yeah.
And to move forward, but it's just part of the process. But that was really healing too, to let that go, and to also know that I am not my emotions. I feel my emotions, which is part of it.
Right.
But to take it personal, also, it's been such a big part of my whole life because I've taken everything personal.
Right. Right. Well, if the inner child needs are not getting met.
Right.
Everything's personal because it's not what you want or what you think you are entitled to or what you think you deserve, right?
Right.
Well, based on programs.
Based on programs, yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Elaborate a little more on programs.
Like, for example, we have different kind. I think what we witness in ourselves and others, and we look out in this world today, the programs... The seeing things as programs help me see things differently. And like victimizer, I was a big one, but I found myself more times than not playing a victim, and the others around me were the victimizer. And I held that energy going into a space. And so the impact that it had, addiction is a program,
right?
Sexual misery is a program. Hero savior is a program.
Right. Not enough.
Not enough. Not is worthy enough. Not lovable. Like,
all programs. And where do they come from? The learned helplessness, that we're seeing. And I always say this because I talk to a lot of people in my day-to-day life. And if one person comes with, I just don't feel enough. I have low self-esteem. I understand that, but when everybody comes pretty much mm-hmm. with that predominant theme running through their mind, mm-hmm. okay, are making them feel that they just don't deserve, however that outpictures, these are programs, these are patterns. There's mm-hmm. something running in the collective mm-hmm. minds of people if most people are feeling this. Right. So you start to look at these patterns, these perceptions that everyone's coming with, and you go, mm-hmm. including myself as I work through it and understanding, mm-hmm. looking at these overlays or programs or beliefs, whatever you want to call them. We'll call them programs for mm-hmm. our purpose here. Mm-hmm. But it's something to consider. It's just something to look at. And then how those programs really... you know, take away our power. Mm-hmm. And then learning to choose to look at things as a program, you take things less personally because everybody's running the same show, mm-hmm. the same program, the same yeah. energy, the same belief, very similar. You step back, you have a bigger perspective and go, well, what's really running the show down here through people's consciousness? Mm-hmm. And you shift to more compassion because you see now mm-hmm. what you've just walked through. Other people are experiencing very similar patterns or programs of beliefs about themselves based on their experiences.
Right.
And I think that's helped you, right? Move to compassion.
Yeah, I first felt compassion that morning that I found out about my dad, of everyone else that I knew in my life that had lost their father too. Especially, you know, I had some friends that lost their father at a really young age. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can now understand, have an idea what they walk through. But also for people like, let's say, my greatest abuser, or those who we felt have wronged us, or the pain and trauma. When I look now with that level of compassion, it shifts things. It allows me to step out of the program, because the programs are really traps too that keep us off. Operating in that, we can see that out in the worldscape today, but we're so much more than that. But also the compassion and love for my loved ones who also have their own pain, their own trauma, their own programs that they are operating from within,
and they learn from their ancestral line, their family their line family. It goes on and on and on.
Exactly.
But we get the power to choose to step out of the circle, and we get to stand, you know, in a pillar of light.
Yes.
Choosing.
And I chose, especially with my family being the mirror that they were to me, that it stops with me. I don't know what this is, but it stops with me.
Yeah. And yeah.
To change.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's wonderful, Caitlin.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I want to ask you another question, because I know we're coming up to the end, you know, mm-hmm. of our interview here. But in this moment, right, and we've talked already a lot, but perhaps there's a few more things that you can kind of add for those who are listening. What you actually have learned, you know, about the inner work, about yourself, and who you are today. Who you are today.
Yeah, I am a work in progress. But for the first time in my life, I remember this started to come in the, over the last, let's say, 2-3 years. But I can say that I love myself.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
I have a stillness within, gratitude, joy inside. And I bring this with me wherever I go now.
The power to choose to bring it with you.
Yes. Yes. I chose. It all started with choice. I learned a lot about thoughts. Through this process too, we talk about programs, but what are thoughts? Where do they come from? And understanding that not all thoughts are our own. And that is a choice in itself too, understanding what are my thoughts?
Those self-defeating thoughts, I'm mm-hmm. not enough, I'm not worthy, yes. I'm this, I'm that.
Yep.
Right.
And there's some really awful ones too that I'm like, where did that come from? You're like, that... And as I've continued to walk through this, I've strengthened that core self to know, like, that is not me. I don't know what that is, but I do not consent to that.
Give an example.
Like suicide.
There you go.
I struggled with suicide through all of this.
Yeah.
And it was right after the court date.
Right.
I was ready.
Right.
I was done. Like, you know, as you know, when you met me, I had one foot out the door.
Yeah.
And I had to really work through that and understanding what thoughts are and that they are things. And that suicide is, that was not my thought. That was no.
Right.
And I had to, what helped me through the journey, but also understand and be aware of my thoughts day to day, to choose, no, that's a lie. That's a lie program. That's a lie program.
I think that's so great.
Yeah.
When these self-defeating thoughts or thoughts such as this come in, for anybody who's listening, mm-hmm. stop it.
Mm-hmm.
I do not consent.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lie.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, because the second we take that on, that is consent. And more of that same vibration continue to come in.
Yeah, that's right.
And we have the power to choose. Just like I had the power to choose.
To choose goodness, to choose a higher vibration, to choose mm-hmm. another way of looking at the world, changing mm-hmm. your perception, right? Looking within so that you look out differently, so that you could gain inner strength and some wisdom that's always operating there in that higher expression of your divine eternal self.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And making that distinction between what is an organic thought and what is inorganic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And where do these thoughts come from? It comes from pain, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It comes from the collective agreement of
being here.
Being here on this planet at this mm-hmm. time. It's challenging to be here.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people suffering. The key is to face the pain and to choose always, right?
Always. That is a God-given right, birthright. It is a power inside each of our hearts. And it's beyond just a mental. It may start there, but it is, it's in our heart.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it solid and real and true. And that's where we start to build that muscle. If it feels so foreign to us, like it did for me.
Right. Yeah.
Once upon a time, I had to build that muscle.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, I know you faced your fears.
And I continue to do so when they do appear. I witness them.
And that's truly the inner work, isn't it? It's getting, mm-hmm. it's redirecting yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
To your soul, your spirit, the real truth, and not being afraid to pierce the veil, to see what's ugly and not nice, and mm-hmm. and to hold on to everything that is, because who we really are these mm-hmm. beautiful eternal beings. We are souls. We are multidimensional spirit souls, eternal beings. We're here for a short period of time in these bodies, right?
Yes.
And so let's make the most of it, and let's take an opportunity to look within, to face our fears, to look at our shortcomings, all those things we think we are, which are just largely just opportunities for us to grow and learn and toss away and step into this greater power and wisdom that says, wait, I am enough. Mm-hmm. I choose God. I choose love. Just choose peace in every situation.
Mm-hmm. Move towards peace.
Move toward peace.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great tool.
Powerful.
It's powerful.
And the most powerful ones are the most simple and most profound.
It sure is. Well, Caitlin, I have one more question before we...
Okay.
Before we come to a close, and really just final words of wisdom.
Yeah. There is no magic pill. It takes time. True healing, it's coming back to the heart. Get out of the head and into the heart. And I had to be 100% honest with myself and look at my own bullshit.
There you go.
That's what it took. It was getting bucked off. Let me get back in that saddle. 100th time, 1,000, you know, like whatever it was.
Yeah. And talk a little bit about what that looks like self-justification or the expectation of somebody doing X, Y, Z for you. You know, give an example of your own BS.
Oh, that's a great question. I know there's a lot.
It plays in many different ways.
Yeah. Coming back to my family, I have more love for them now than I ever did, even though we may not be in relationship.
Yeah.
But I know with them, like my mom and my dad, like I wasn't easy.
Right.
There you go. I was fiery. I would speak the truth, whether it wanted to, what I thought as the truth at that time.
Yeah.
Even though I had a sharp tongue and it hurt. And I had to look at that. I had to feel that pain.
There you go.
And I own it. And I say, I'm sorry. I'm still working on the forgiveness piece, what that really means in this life. In
of yourself.
Heart. Of myself, too.
And
Yeah. So I guess that would be one of those big examples.
Yeah. Because we all have participation. It's not just one-sided, right?
Never.
And all we can do is take and look at our own piece.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And heal that piece.
Yeah.
Forgive ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And that allows us to keep moving forward and release everyone else involved when we continue to move forward.
Yeah.
I noticed if I stayed there, I wasn't serving anybody or anyone or anything.
Especially yourself.
Yes.
Especially yourself.
And
right.
I don't want to waste a moment of this life. We've talked about that before. You just said it. It's short. And I think about it with my dad being gone. I know you have loved ones.
Yes.
In this lifetime. Like, this is the only time that you and I are going to see each other.
In these bodies.
Exactly. Right. We're consciousness. We're infinite. Right. We're going to go on. But we'll never see each other again in this form.
Yeah.
So.
That's just powerful, right? Because it gives, I know for me, for myself, it gives me a lot of motivation each day to make the most, to be kind and loving and be present and deal with whatever's coming up for myself emotionally. I mean, it's very complex down here on planet Earth, but we have these opportunities every moment to understand we're here for a short time. How do you want to live your life? How do you want to choose to be an expression in service to God, to goodness, and bring peace and in service to what you do here and share that love, that heart, and that respect with others? Because it's our relationships that are the most important.
It is. It's what we can invest in that can never be taken away.
That's right.
Because so much of what we invest in, especially in the material world, it's very temporary.
Houses can go, relationships can end. Mm-hmm. But if we're willing to always be present, to have communication and dialogue and be truthful with ourselves, and then find those people that are safe that you can have that kind of deep sharing and connection with, it really makes life joyful and powerful and purposeful, right?
Yeah, the purposeful.
The purpose.
Yep.
Yeah. Anything else? Any other words of wisdom?
Well, I'm so grateful for our work together, because through hypnotherapy, meditation, journaling, and prayer, we're essential tools. The love and kindness towards myself. It's a continual work in progress in my life. Boundaries. You know, we talk about love and kindness, but there's also boundaries.
That's right.
And it's something that we set. It's very personal, and we set it for ourselves, and it's up to us to honor that. It's no one else's job to honor that for us. Whereas I used to set boundaries thinking it was everyone else's job to honor it. I just laughed.
But you didn't have to.
No.
You might have had them, but or thought you had them.
Yeah, right. And I have learned that I may not get what I want, but I always have what I need. And this brings me joy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
So thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Caitlin. My goodness. I hope everybody listening has just found this interview just supportive, and gosh, I can't say enough about the journey we walked together, and to watch the birthing of an authentic expression of love and purpose and mission and service, and how Caitlin reflects herself today. It's an inspiration for me, being part of her life, you know, and I hope that everything that she shared here today will inspire all of you to not be afraid to take back your power by working through your patterns of grief and pain and shame, and finding those people that can be safe for you in your life to help you and steward you through. And it is my prayer, I know, Caitlin's, that you may have that gift and that you may have this experience of true healing.
Yeah, yeah, you know, that safe person. I know we talked about earned trust, but that being a safe person too, and put simply, it was, you know, like your words and actions were in alignment. You can bring words, actions, and heart are in alignment. And I strive to be that every day moving forward, for all the, because I see all the times that I wasn't.
Right, right.
And I thank you for being that example today.
Oh, you're so welcome, Caitlin. It's just exquisite. I love you.
I love you.
Well, I think that's it for now, everybody. I really thank you for all who are listening. Please know that Caitlin and I are sending you all so much love and many blessings. And if you do have any questions for Caitlin, you're certainly welcome to reach out on my website, vibrationsofthesoul.com. There's a contact page, and I'd be happy to forward them on to her. So with that being said, Caitlin, I think we're done for today.
Yes, thank you all for listening today.
Thank you very much. Bye for now.